God's word from the letter to the Colossians in the third chapter, verses 9 through 17. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Hence, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We want you to know, any who hear the word through the website, to know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. And today's proclamation of faith is from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 24 and 25. Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. This morning we must continue the discussion we started last Sunday on worship. And I've said several times that here at Daleville Christian Church, we want you connected. We want you connected to Jesus Christ. As a part of that connection is being connected to Jesus' church. Worship is a connection. It's a personal connection to the Lord. It's a personal connection to the body of Christ. It's a connection of the body of Christ to the Lord, the head of the church. Worship is connection cubed. If prayer is personal connection with the Lord, then prayer in worship is the same connection squared to the second power. Worship is three connections. And what does God's word say in the book of Ecclesiastes? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Worship provides the three strands. Worship is important, even essential. Here at Daleville Christian Church, for the last several weeks, we have been reviewing what we believe and what we believe as spoken of and written about mostly in the book of Acts. Today, we are going to look at what we believe as expressed in worship. Worship isn't so much what we believe. Worship is an expression of what we believe. And what we express in worship is important. And what we express in worship is important three ways. It's what we believe. It's what we believe as found in God's word, the Bible. Worship is also teaching us about what we believe and teaching us about God's word. And it's teaching not only us, it's teaching visitors, it's teaching strangers, and it's teaching the children. Last week we talked about some of the furniture here in the sanctuary, the lectern where the Bible sits, the pulpit where the Bible is expounded and interpreted, both placed prominently in the sanctuary so the word of God can be seen and heard, so that everyone may attend to the word of God. The table of the Lord, where the followers of Jesus may eat the Lord's Supper as Jesus intended that we do whenever we meet. We spoke last time about how the ancient peoples knew how to worship. The ways of worship were never questioned. They knew, as the Bible makes clear, that the Lord God does want our worship. Worship is a part of our service to God. Worship is literally working for the Lord. The words are linked in the ancient Greek language. Today we look at some of the parts of our worship service. Today's scripture lesson directs us to notice psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We'll get to those in a minute. But to follow up that idea of worship being our work for the Lord, singing requires us to use our entire bodies to worship God. Eyes, ears, voices, and the very breath of life that is in us is in service to give God praise. We do not sing because we are good at it. Let me say that again. We do not sing because we are good at it. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to sing well. Nowhere does the Bible say to sing good. 7 times in the Psalms, the people are told to make a joyful noise. God only wants us to make noise for Him. Noise of praise, noise of thanksgiving, noise of joy. If we want to sing well, if we want to sing good, well, that is our problem, not God's. If we wish we could sing well, if we wish we could sing good, you can pray about it. But the Bible gives us no indication that singing well is of any interest to the Lord. Maybe you think that your noise is not joyful. Well, that's for the Lord to decide, isn't it? Not the person you stand next to in worship, right? 1 Chronicles says, chapter 15, "Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise, with psalteries and harps." Even Psalm 33 says, "Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise." Go ahead and play as well as you can, but do make noise. Now, one version of the Bible does all of us a great disservice, that same psalm, Psalm 33. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. That verse is translated in the contemporary English version. Sing a new song, shout, play beautiful music. I'm sure the word beautiful is not in the verse. The translator assumes that skillful players make beautiful music. That translator has obviously never heard a junior high band concert. They are skilled, but the music is only beautiful to the parents. A better translation of that Psalm 33, the English Standard Version. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. So we're back to the shouts. And in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, sing a new song to him, play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. The Holman Christian Standard Bible insists that the shouts be joyful, at least. And what is the point? Well, too many people deny the Lord praise by insisting a certain level of ability. But you won't find that idea in the Bible. The Bible only seems interested in obedience, not skill. Even Moses complained he was not skilled, and God didn't seem to care. Give unto God what is God's. Now, my dad had, still has, I believe, he's not doing too much singing these days, but my dad has a nice bass voice, and in worship when I was growing up, if he didn't know the tune of the hymn, he just kind of droned along in the lower register. But he was always participating in the praise of the congregation. So let's look at today's verse. Colossians 3, 9 through 17. I chose to start in verse 9 because a part of what we were talking about today has to do with the new life that is won for us through Jesus Christ. You can't worship the Lord in and through Jesus Christ if you don't have the new life in and through Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You got a new life, and the new life is being renewed. It isn't something that happened a while back and is over with. No, it goes on. The new gets renewed. There's a renewal in what is new. In verse 11, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. I think it's interesting there's only one tribal group or peoples singled out, and it's Scythians. Scythians were considered the most barbarous and vicious of uncultured people. And here they are included because in Christ we are new. We are made new. And even the Scythian, along with the barbarian and the slaves and the free. Christ is all and is in all. When you're redeemed by Jesus Christ, you have a new life. The old life is gone. There are to be no divisions that are human divisions, because Christ is not divided. So neither is the church of Jesus Christ to be divided. There's only one head, and there should only be one body for the one head of Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, you are holy because God made you holy through Christ. You're holy, not holier. You are holy. God has made you holy. You are not holier. Only God is holier. No one among us is holier, but we are holy. So because you are holy, because you are God's people, because God says so, and you have a new life, this is what you can do with new life in Christ. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. And if you don't understand that statement, here it is. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We don't forgive because we are able. We forgive because Christ is able to forgive. We forgive others because Christ forgave us. Forgiving someone is never about you. How many times do we say, I don't know if I can? I don't know if you're supposed to do the forgiving. Let Christ work the forgiveness in you. Want it? Pray for it? Try it. Try forgiving the perpetrator. Fail at it. And later, try it again. Forgiveness is more about Jesus than forgiveness is about us. And then it says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So love, the apostle said, we have to put on the other qualities, put them on like a garment, then the overcoat is love. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And now we come to the worship part of the verses, which sound familiar to you since I used them several times here as we close the services of worship. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's notice the obvious things first. The church of the apostles was a singing church. The church of the apostles, the early church, was a singing church. And here let me just quote from William Barclay in his daily study Bible series. Singing in worship was inherited from the Jews. Philo, a Jewish historian, tells us that often the Jews would spend the whole night in hymns and songs. That's mentioned in the book of Acts when apostles were in jail and they sang hymns and songs through the night. One of the earliest descriptions of a church service we possess is that of Pliny, who was also an historian, who sent a report of the activities of the Christian, the Roman Emperor Trajan. And he wrote, "They, the Christians, meet at dawn to sing a hymn to Christ as God." The first churches of Jesus were singing churches. Now, what were they singing? Bible verse today says psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Scholars for many, many years have tried to pin down the differences and the distinctions of these three music groups, the three different words in the Greek text, psalms, hymns, and songs. We are certain that psalms refer to the psalms of the Old Testament. However, no other answers have been forthcoming. There are three different Greek words, as I mentioned. What we probably can say is that whatever the three groups of music were, the church was singing all of them. Whatever the three groups of music were, the church was singing all of them in its worship. I have in the sermon notes for you some of the texts that may well have been the words of the songs and hymns that the church used in its worship services. Some of those same words we use as our statements of faith in our worship. What is most important for us to notice is that the music is used by the church in its teaching. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, to give you an idea how Bible scholars think, are we supposed to sing spiritual songs, or are we supposed to sing while in the Spirit? Are we supposed to sing spiritual songs, or are we supposed to sing while in the Spirit? Both translations are possible. Both are acceptable. And it's pretty important if you have folks who think they know a spiritual song when they see one and discount the other songs. But we certainly are not told anywhere in Scripture what not to sing. We are only told to sing spiritual songs or to sing songs in the Spirit. Let's look with detail in verse 16. Let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other with thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. See, the other idea here is that we teach through our singing. And if it isn't clear in that verse, take a look at Ephesians 5:19 that says it very clearly, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Same list of words. And now you're speaking to one another with them. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. But remember, even if our hearts are not in it, if our hearts aren't in it this morning, if our hearts aren't in it today, we're still teaching and we're still learning through the songs, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. The Lord wants you to be singing from the heart. I want you to lift your heart in joy and thanksgiving and in glory and praise. But even if you can't do it today, you're still learning. You're still teaching. Now I want to close talking about two parts of our worship we always include in our singing. What is called the doxology, which basically means words of praise, and the Gloria Patri, which we also sing every week, which is the Latin word for the first line of the song, Glory Be to the Father. Now, Christians have been worshiping for over 2,000 years. Worship has changed. Protestants, that's us, changed worship a lot. Before the Protestants broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, there weren't very many people singing in worship, just the monks and the priests. When Luther wanted people to hear the Word of God in their own language, he also wanted people to participate in praising God in their own language. I know this sounds simple to us today, but 500 years ago, people were killed for worshiping in their own language, and they were killed for wanting to worship in their own language. The worship wars we talk about in the 21st century are nothing compared to the 150 years of war in Europe over Protestantism. So that we have songs in our language that we can sing, goes back just 500 years. But two of our phrases that we sing are much, much older. The two phrases I mentioned, the song of glory, the doxology, and the Gloria Patri, those songs are older than Protestantism. The Gloria Patri is a prayer. We find it used close to just 100 years after Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. And we add for emphasis, world without end. Amen. These words go back to the year 100 in the worship of the church. And I think we understand the first part, glory to God, glory to God the Father, glory to the Son, glory to the Holy Spirit. But what about the rest of that? The world does not end. World without end. I thought the Bible said the world is going to end. Okay, good point. The phrase occurs on the letter to the Ephesians. There are actually a few possibilities. The world does not refer to the earth. That's clear because the earth as we know it is going to end. The world may be the world of praise to God. The world of praise to God is not going to end. The angels in heaven will continue to praise God even when the earth does come to an end. The world of praise remains. There was praise and glory to God in the beginning, there's praise to God in the present, and there shall be praise and glory to God forever, world without end. Another note we might take is that the world or creation is going to be remade. We have that promise in the scripture. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven and new earth will glorify God, world without end. That's the world that won't end. But it does contain praises to God. Now, the second part of the service that we sing each week is what we call the doxology, or song of praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. This too is a Protestant form of the scriptures. This English form of the words is attributed to Thomas Ken, but phrases of this hymn are found in Ephesians 1:3. The phrase all praise is contained in over 30 times in the Psalms alone. All praise. You'll find out all over scripture. So, here at Daleville Christian Church, we are practicing what we preach. We praise whom we say we praise. We make noise. Songs of thanksgiving, songs of praise, a joyful noise. All as we read in the Word of God. Does that make us holier? No, it does not. The word holier is only in the Bible once, and it refers to God, not people. People are never holier. They're holy because God's made us holy. The only thing it means that we are practicing what we preach, the only thing that the worship does is make us scriptural. The worship ties us to the Word of God, as well as brings us into the presence of the Lord God, just as the Bible says is supposed to happen. Amen.